Coming to you live from underneath your 8th grade history desk, I'm Tom Rich, and with me as always is a Boogers, and this is the Mildly Alarming Podcast. Episode false, true.
Welcome back to the Mildly Alarming Podcast. I'm Johannes Stauffer.
And I'm Tom Rich.
And we're here to talk to you about the most important news of the day.
News and events, current happenings, international and domestic, all sorts of stuff that is important to you and the way you live your life and the way your family lives their lives. Your children, your children's children, not your children's children, but the ones after them. Those are the people who are going to be impacted by what we have to say tonight.
Or this morning, if you're in another time zone.
If you're in a different time zone, yeah, we understand how those work. It could be noon where you are.
It could be yesterday.
It could be tomorrow.
But probably yesterday.
We don't know. And nobody knows. And nobody can know.
It's impossible to know.
That's the important part, right? That's what we're talking about. That's why we are bringing the hard-hitting questions to you via the internet tonight. What do we got on the docket today, Johannes? Go!
Well, first up, I believe you had brought to our attention a story you wanted to tell the listeners about the latest Twitter hashtag.
Yes, we are very...
sweeping the internet.
Just taking the internet over. We are very excited, very, very excited to be in on the ground floor of this latest internet craze. So if you are on Facebook, if you are on Twitter, if you are on Vine, I think is this thing that's going to be around for a while. It
just
looks like it's
a very long time.
It's got staying power. But if you're on any of those and you know how to make the little tic-tac-toe boards with your keyboard, we are very proud to announce that we are participating in the hashtag Dirt Sheets movement.
That's sheets with a Z.
Sheets with a Z, dirt with a normal spelling. And it's going crazy. It's sweeping all across the internet. Hashtag Dirt Sheets. So just put that at the end of your stuff this week, and that'll make you a part of this thing, which they're going to put into the books down the line when they write them. When the books get read.
The internet books.
The internet books.
The very annals of internet history.
Which is spelled with two L's.
Hmm.
Because you don't want to spell it with one. And then you're talking about butts. You don't want that.
I think it's N's. It's two it's two N's. You're an idiot.
Yes. So hashtag Dirt Sheets. Get in on that if you get a minute to do so. But that's not the only thing going on. It's a wide world out there. A lot of stuff happening.
We need to tell them what they can do if they run out of hashtag dirt sheets.
If they need to get more. Well, I mean,
You can go to www.hashtagdirtsheets.com/_.
You can go there. You can get
there's a button.
Yeah. There's a button that'll refill. If you run out of dirt sheets. Also, if you go to many, big box stores by the cash register, they've got Dirt Sheets refill cards that you can get there, and it comes with a little flash drive that you plug in to your computer, and it will
it re-ups you.
Just fills it right back. And you know, this is pretty cool too. I've heard that there are like Dirt Sheets vigilantes out there.
Yeah,
I don't think vigilante is really the word I want.
Probably
but,
not,
but it's fair. Who are hot dropping USB sticks with Dirt Sheet re-ups on them, just out in the wild. So if you are
like
just
from their drones and whatnot,
from their drones, from their pants pockets, from their hands even.
Wow.
So if you're just out and about, and you know, you're like say in like a truck stop restroom, or you know, in a bead store where some hippies are, or just in the park or like a shady alley, and you find a USB drive on the ground, plug it directly into your nearest computer.
Absolutely do this.
And it will re-up you on dirt sheets then and there.
This is a perfectly safe, everyday thing that people do and should
always do. There's no downside to just taking whatever random USB stick you find and plugging it directly into your computer or your work computer even.
Or someone else's work computer. They might need those as well.
Yeah, or just computers that you find places, like library computers.
Or like an internet cafe.
Or like if you're standing at the doctor's office and the receptionist behind the desk gets up and goes away for a moment, you can just lean right over the barrier. You can
through
do
the
it.
Window there, yeah.
You're tall enough. Mm-hmm. And you can just put it into the flash drive socket there.
Yeah.
That those go into. And it's fine, and it'll just re-up you on dirt sheets if you run out.
Yeah.
So just make sure that you do that.
It's an important public service announcement.
It's key. We're going to even put our important public service announcement music behind it. So we're just going to give a 3-second stinger here.
God, I hate you so much.
For that to go in. And here it is. And now we're done. And that way, people who are just fast-forwarding through the show will know when they get to that part that they're at the end of the announcement, and they can know to back up.
You're an evil
monster.
And go
back to the beginning.
So what are we doing with the rest of this segment, Tom?
Well, we got other important things to tell you about. We talked to our friend Chip Beauvais last week, two weeks ago now, I guess it would have been. He is the son of the spring wind and the moon.
Yeah.
And that gives him tremendous power in our world. But more importantly, it means that he's allowed to make board games.
Yes.
With his hands. And that's important for him.
Right.
Because it's what he does. But Chip was telling us about Button Shy Games Nano Game Contest, which we'll put a link to in the show notes after this, which is a contest put on by Button Shy Games where you attempt to make a nano game, hence calling it Button Shy Games Nano Game Contest. Are you with me so far?
They can't reply. It's a one-way.
I was talking to you.
No, I don't listen when you talk.
You glazed over and started drooling for a moment there, so I was afraid, you know, that whatever is wrong with you had occurred once again.
I've just been waiting for you to be finished, making noise with your mouth.
Right? So anyway, Button Shy Games Nano Game Contest is a contest for making a very, very small game. It's got three categories, the smallest of which is just try to make an entire board game on nine cards.
Just nine.
There's nine of them that you have, and you can't use anything else. And when we say you can't use anything else, it's a pretty dang restrictive can't use anything else because the other categories explicitly allow paper and pencil.
Paper and pencil.
Which says to me that the true nano game category does not.
Yeah, that was what I took from that as well.
Me too. So that means no counters, no tokens, no directing people to use the spare change in their pocket to track stuff. Just you have nine cards.
No set a timer on your microwave or phone or
dog.
If your dog has the timer.
No anything. Dogs all have timers.
Right.
Just if you need to set your dog timer, take your dog and put one hand on top of its head and hold the other up as though you're swearing on the Bible in court and ask your dog to, you know, set the timer for the amount of time that you want, and your dog will do that for you. Mm-hmm. But, and this is the key thing, the dog may or may not actually tell you when the timer has expired.
It will know.
It will know.
Sure.
Absolutely. Dogs know these things, but it may or may not decide to impart that information to you. And there's no known technology to determine whether or not it's going to or whether or not it did indeed.
So it's not super useful, but what do you think dogs were just made to be your kitchen timer? Come on.
Yeah, come on, dude.
They're living things.
They have their own hopes and dreams.
And kibble.
Yeah, they have kibble. We should make a board game about dogs.
As long as we do it with only nine cards.
It's true. So, yeah. So we've been trying for all week this week to determine if we can make a game for this. Because the submissions open in mid-November and end at the end of November. So we got a little time to work on it. But not a lot. Not a lot.
Not a ton.
Not a ton of time. And it's hard to make a board game with nine cards.
Truth.
We made one called That's My Jam.
We did.
Which was not fun.
No.
It was not very good at all.
Nope.
But it did involve saying things like, do you have the toast? No.
I believe it was, this is my jam.
Oh, yeah. This is my jam. It involved saying, do you have the toast? I don't have the toast. Where is the toast?
It involved a lot of looking for toast.
There was a lot of searching for toast and trying to figure out which jam was in fact the correct jam, but none of that was much fun to do.
It also involved discussions. The design part of it involved discussions like, but once I have the toast, there's no reason for me to ever give you the toast. Once I have the toast, I'm going to keep the toast. There's nothing you can do to get the toast from me. It's my toast.
Followed by, that means we need to have a mechanic where I can force you to give up the toast or steal the toast from you. There has to be some way to make you not have the toast anymore.
So that then I could have the toast.
Because the toast was an integral part of making that's my jam work.
This is my jam.
This is my jam. Oh, hot damn.
Precisely.
Right. That's the reference we're making.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually a Snoop Dogg song.
Oh.
Boom. Bringing it full circle back to Snoop. All right.
Hashtag dirt sheets.
Hashtag dirt sheets. So, you know, we tried to make a space fighty game with 9 cards. We tried to make a hacking game with 9 cards. None of it worked. We're not there yet, but...
I believe it is Flo Rida and not Snoop.
Really? I could have sworn, oh, hot damn, this my jam. Keep the party going up until the AM. Y'all don't understand was Snoop Dogg.
Make me throw my hands in the ayer, 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 ayer,
etc. That's Flo Rida?
It's so the internets tell me.
I thought for sure that was Snoop Dogg.
You know, if you removed the space from his name, it would just be Florida.
I have to make a phone call. So I guess what we want to talk about in this first segment, aside from dirt sheets, hashtag dirt sheets, is, you know, the challenges that come with really just stripping a game down to this kind of bare, raw, I wanted to say a word that started with a B there, but it escaped from me.
Balustrade
of components. And there's really nothing there yet.
We worked on several different iterations of several different attempts of all failed games in this genre yesterday, and I just watched the light in Tom's eyes just flicker and eventually die. It got so bad that he requested that we play computer games, which is a thing I want to do all the time. And Tom often takes more than a little convincing. He asked. So
yeah, it was a design challenge.
He may have
challenge.
Been replaced by a robot, but yeah.
Take me to your dirt sheets.
It was tough.
Don't take me to your dirt sheets. I don't want that. That's not good.
Unless you're a laundry robot.
That's true. I'm not, though. Have you? You're in my house right now. You can tell I'm not a laundry robot.
Listen, you didn't have to share that with all of our listening audience.
Our reading audience has to know every detail about our lives.
Okay. Tom lives in a pit of filth, and for some reason I'm here sometimes.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
All right.
So, yeah, you got to get... What we're finding in our development process for these nano games is that you really have to get a lot of use out of... Like, if you want that game to be more than... a stocking stuffery game that everybody will play once on Christmas Day and then forget they have, if they even bother to open the box, you've really got to get a lot of value out of all of the different parts of the card. You've got to be like a stereotypical Native American using all the parts of the buffalo, but you're using all the parts of the playing card.
In this particular metaphor, simile, analogy, at any rate, the buffalo only has 9 parts.
Well, no, there are 9 buffalo.
Uh-huh.
Each card is a buffalo.
Sure.
Can we have this conversation before we carry on with it?
Now we're just talking about buffalo. It's fine.
Okay.
You know, skirted the potentially dangerous territory.
Yeah, is that a reference you can make anymore? I don't know. Now that I say it out loud, I'm not sure it was okay for me to make. If you are offended by what I just said, I do apologize. I wasn't sure. I'm not sure now if that was okay or not. But anyway, you get these cards.
Which are... maybe buffalo, but
the game could involve buffalo. That could be a fun game.
Or beefalo, which are buffalo that are specifically bred with cows, I think, to make buffalo meat.
Right.
They actually call them beefalo.
That's a good name for them.
That's fantastic.
It's amazing. You have 2 sides of each card. Each card has 4 sides and 4 corners. It's got a middle part. You could divide it in half with a line. You could divide it into quarters. A lot of different ways you can divvy up the card, but you've really got to... You can't just put a blob of text on the card. Yeah, I guess you could.
Yeah.
But, you know, where we've been going is really trying to find ways to use all of the different areas and parts and regions of the card to our advantage. It's not getting us anywhere at all.
I think the bigger problem we've come across is that with only 9 cards, even if you use all of the parts of the card and have them accomplish many different tasks with just the face of one card, there's not a lot of, like, material to cycle through to change up the gameplay.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone, if with four players and nine cards, you basically have one leftover card.
Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get to four players.
Yeah.
But so you wind up with we've been bumping into a lot of situations where the design we've come up with might be interesting if there were enough hidden information that players could be legitimately uncertain and would need to start making some educated guesses to do things and taking risks and operating on less than perfect information. But because of the small number of cards, it doesn't take too many actions by any one player to have perfect info, to be like, I know almost beyond a shadow of a doubt where everything is, and now I just have know if I've won or not based on
it's
that.
It's just a question of who played, you know, who was first player and what how the turns come out,
right?
If I can get there before someone else.
Yeah, so it's that tiny number of cards really makes you think as a designer about what players know and when and how little you can limit them on what they know with that stuff.
So one thing that we sort of left out of the description of the nano game version, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Or cards only. So there's three different segments of the nano games competition. There's cards only, which is 1 to 9 cards. Small fry, which is 1 to 4 cards, 1d6, and up to 4 coins. And then what they call anything goes, which is still hilariously restrictive, which is 1 to 9 cards, which may be cut to make tokens or half cards or whatever. 2d6, 10 coins, paper and pencil. But I believe if you go down far enough, you find that a rule book is also allowed. So they're not considering that a component.
Sure.
And there's really no limit on how big your rule book can be. So there's a lot you can do. What we've been not so great at is, I think, either trusting players to do with few components what they need to make a game happen, or maybe just designing the sort of game that allows a lot more in your head and table talk play and doesn't rely so heavily on the components.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the problem we've come across is that there are several games that have done this sort of thing very well, usually with bluffing.
Coup and Love Letter are the two that jump out.
And Resistance.
Yeah.
I think Resistance is even closer than Coup because Coup goes beyond the...
Resistance uses a lot more components, though, to track. It's got all kinds of tokens to indicate who's going places and who the leader is.
It has them, but it doesn't need them. Like what coup does, you could do basically with, you could do it with 9 cards, and well not with as many players maybe, but still it's simple enough that you basically need like the voting tokens, and so it could be which side of your card.
Sure.
At any rate, there are games that exist more in the interactions between the players than they do in the components that the players actually have, but they've been done so well that even and they're so raw.
Mm-hmm.
That even borrowing from them basically feels like just stealing Coup and then putting a different face on it.
Sure, sure.
Which has been done many times, and so why do it again? There may be good ways to do it, but we haven't come up with any.
We're morons.
So we also played around with some ideas trying to build a sort of a 9x9 grid, a tableau, a board that can change sort of, not really tile laying, but a few different ideas with that. And again, it's just like, mechanically it works, but it's not, there's not enough information hidden on the cards to be engaging more than once or twice.
Right. Which, to be fair, I mean, a wallet game may not be a game that hits the table 1,000 times. It's so tiny that it may occupy just a very narrow niche in your game collection.
Yeah.
You know, it may be a thing that you bust out while you're waiting for Gary to get there.
Right.
Because he's taken a while, because he lives on top of a mountain and it takes a while to get down.
Right.
From there. But it's fun, though. It's an interesting challenge, even if it does scar the soul and leave one yearning for the sweet release of death.
It is, though, very mentally exhausting.
Yeah.
Like, we really beat our heads against it for a while.
Yeah, your immediate thought is, oh, well, if I have a token to do this, that immediately solves it. No, I can't use a token. I have to get everything I want off of the card.
Plus, we're deeply broken men, and so we heard, oh, there's one with only 9 cards. We need to do that. And
yeah.
So when we create a game that looks like it might be halfway decent, but will bump us into the anything goes category instead of the cards only category, we're like, well, that would be cheating. I guess we just throw it away.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, maybe let's follow the game that looks like it might become something good.
We're idiots.
We're very stupid. It's
yeah.
It's clear. Painted for all across the surface of the internet.
#dirt sheets. But we don't have any ideas yet, but we are excited about the contest. So if you are also a game designist and want to get into that contest, don't, because we want to win it with whatever game we come up with. But if you decide to ignore that, it doesn't start until December. Ho, ho, ho. I'm giving you bad information to throw you off.
You're dumb.
Yeah. Got anything to add?
Not without giving away our sweet, sweet game design ideas to other people who might be competing against us.
We're making a game called Dirt Sheets. It's about laundry.
And Twitter, somehow. Twitter laundry. It's about a...
You got to get people enough followers to your laundromat on Twitter. That's the goal. You got to get people to follow it on Twitter.
Your laundromat's Twitter account?
Yeah, yeah. So you got to tweet about the dirtiest sheets. And I don't know. I'm not sure what gets the laundromat attention on Twitter, but you got to tweet about that.
Snoop Dogg is here. Snap a picture.
At the laundromat.
Because it seems like the sort of thing he would do.
Just hang out at a laundromat?
Well, no, like do his laundry there. Like drop it off and then go over to Walmart where he gets...
Despite the fact that his
picture
mansion,
taken and shows up on people of Walmart and then...
Despite the fact that his mansion probably has like two laundry rooms.
Like two. Like
just, it's got
extravagance.
A couple. Yeah. There's a couple of them in there and like each... Like he's got those washer dryers that stack one on top of the other.
Man.
Yeah, he's living...
To have that kind of money.
He's living the life.
I like to think that in his mansion there are two laundry rooms, but each one is just a huge bank of, like, wall-to-wall coin-operated washers and dryers, like a laundromat, but just it's in his house.
Why would he have that?
I don't know. It's just funny to think about. It linoleum is... floors and, like, a depressing chipboard counter.
There's just front. There's just a haggard middle-aged woman asleep on a stool.
Or a college student who's just like, at least I'm making $3 an hour to read this book. Keep anyone from crawling into an industrial dryer. Hey, get out of the dryers. They're not for you. They're for your...
They're for your pants.
Hashtag dirt sheets.
I used to use a laundromat when I lived in Wisconsin.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are Wisconsin laundromats different from Michigan laundromats?
I don't know. I've never used a Michigan laundromat.
Weird. Well, this has been fun.
It's been a good time for all of us.
If you would like to experience our failure at game design further, the next segment is going to be theme ballin'. So stay tuned after this word from our sponsors. And if you don't like to listen to the words from our sponsors and instead would rather tell us how much you hate our sponsors, you could do that on Twitter at Mildly Alarming.
You could do it by email at mildlyalarmingshow@gmail.com.
You can do it on the website in the comment section at www.mildlyalarming.com or on facebook.com/mildlyalarmingshow.
Or you could do it apparently by train at your local train yard. See, because there's a train in the background right now. It's making sounds. God, I hope that shows up and is audible, or this is going to be really weird.
If it does show up, I'm going to cut it out just so you sound like a moron.
No!
We'll be right back.
This is a mildly alarming radio news breaking news break. I'm Reginald St. Kevin.
And I'm Chep Holstein. Good evening. In snack news, the Singapore Syndicate of Soda Syrup Suppliers, or SSS, announced today that production has ground to a halt due to an infestation of nipple mites among high fructose corn baboons. Sources close to the baboon farms claim that it is near impossible to get corn syrup from a baboon while it is frantically scratching its teats. Sources close to my morning bowl of Mountain Dew and spaghetti were sad.
And in math news, researchers at Tipsley University announced today that they had discovered a new largest number, which they called 11qui quablillion. This new number, described as so big you guys, so big, displaces 1,000 quadrillion as the largest known number. Reached for comment, the number's discoverer retreated into his blanket fort. Our reporter's attempts to gain access to the fort were thwarted by a sign stating, "No girls allowed."
Cooties, Reg. Get you every time. In hair news, people throughout the American Southwest have been shaving their heads in order to donate to Hair Pillows, a charity that makes pillows out of human hair and gives them to people who already have too many pillows. Asked about the purpose of the charity, founder Gustav Jober said, quote, "I just wanted to find a way to get a lot of hair and then something to do with it. I have a lot of problems."
And in Yo Mama news, call your mother. She misses you and is worried you aren't eating enough.
If my mother is watching, don't worry. I have been binging and purging exactly as you taught me when I was Miss New Hampshire in 1985.
You killed it in the swimsuit contest, Chep. This has been your mildly alarming radio news breaking news break. I'm Reginald St. Kevin.
And I'm Ajababu Bababu.
Are you just making noises?
Bababu. Good evening.
We now return to your regularly scheduled program.
Welcome back to the Mildly Alarming Podcast. I'm Johannes Stauffer.
And I'm Tom Rich.
And I'm Lionel Palpudi.
And I'm glad to have you here. What's wrong with you? We have a great segment for you tonight on the second half of the show. So hashtag dirt sheets it up. And let's get this flame up thing on the row. The segment we
have... Did you say fleam?
I'm making sounds.
Fleam.
Man. Listen, there's too much of it. In my spoo.
In your spoo?
In my spoo.
His spoo has too much fleam.
It's funny because it's a reference to a 20-some-year-old Dilbert comic. 20-some-year-old Dilbert comic. There we go.
Is it really that old?
It's got to be. Mid-90s. It's 2016 now.
Okay. I believe you.
I believe me, too.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. This segment is called Theme Ballin'.
You clipped.
This segment is called Theme Ballin'. Wait, I didn't clap that time. Let me try it one more time. This segment is called Theme Ballin'. Damn it. Theme Ballin'. Theme Ballin'. This segment is called Theme Ballin'. So Theme Ballin', for those of you who are new to the show or for those of you that have blocked it out of your memory, is a segment where each of us throws a theme for a game at the other guy, and the other guy then has to spitball what a game about that theme might be. Past themes have included lions, clowns, deep sea fishing.
Only one of those was true.
Pretty sure we did lions.
I may have blocked it out.
That's fair. So do you want to ball me a theme first?
We did one about loins.
We did
that's
one about,
not
that's
true.
Probably not true. Or do you want me to ball you a theme?
I don't care.
You don't care at all?
We do this every time.
Do you care about anything? Do you even care about us anymore?
No.
That's probably good. Yeah. It's probably good for your mental health. I'll go ahead and ball you a theme first.
Okay.
I'll throw one in. This theme is about a world where you have been that I have not.
Oh.
Something you know well and intimately with both hands. And your mouth, probably.
Terrifying.
And that I am not familiar with so much. So just go wild with it. Go wherever it takes you. Let us plumb the dark secrets of your realm.
So the theme he's balling me is women.
It's funny because he implied.
But Tom is lonely.
Right. Go. Let us plumb the dark secrets of this realm in board game form. The theme is bands.
Bands
like bands of musicians,
like musical bands, not
musical
just like
bands.
Roving bands,
yeah, or like
vagrants.
Band saws or bands of light or bands on the electromagnetic spectrum,
mm-hmm.
but bands of musicians, troubadours, if you will,
not Ray bands,
no,
okay,
not Ray Charles,
though potentially,
maybe, yeah, I guess,
okay. Well, there's a very disappointing worker placement, like. For a big band,
mm-hmm.
a large band, I guess it could be a big band, but like an orchestra or band, mm-hmm. of just like try to put the best one together. I guess it's not worker placement, but
deck builder maybe?
Deck build, like drafting deck builder or
where you're trying to get the best violinists and
or even you're even like a Galaxy Trucker style like. Scramble to build your orchestra, like you have a board in front of you that's, you know, all of the chairs, but you have to, but I don't think that's
fun.
I don't know, I do like the scramble for tiles mechanic, but I don't know where to go with it, and mm-hmm. and I think the problem with this is going to be in general for me, I guess it's not necessarily a problem, but why use this theme kind of issue is that whatever I can put on it, unless there's a way to inherently work music into it,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be like, why did you make this about bands? And I feel like I would have to put a lot more time into actually making it musical and thereby also probably limit the player base to people who actually have a degree of musical skill themselves. So I still need to think about it. It could be bands like rock bands.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be about like getting your hit single. Well, I guess it wouldn't be hit. Getting your single to the top of the charts somehow before someone else or before the other bands.
Are there, so aside from the musical part of bands where you have to make pretty sounds with various things, are there entertaining things in like the social dynamics of band members, of being in the band and interacting with the fans and the other guys in the band or girls in the band or whatever, and that might make for a fun, an amusing game conceit?
What
like,
about...
Like, isn't it a thing where bassists are super lame? Like, could we do something with that? Ha ha, Alphonse, take that.
And my brother Matt.
Ha ha.
Two lame people we've insulted for being lame.
Zing! I don't know how I insulted them.
You said bassists are lame and they're both bassists.
I'd already forgotten I said it.
Yeah. So, it could be, it could start with drafting. And it would, I don't know about a deck builder. I don't know how interesting it is to continue on in that. But you could have a deck to represent your band. And I kind of like the idea that... you have different musicians in your deck to choose from that you're drafting, and you have to fill a certain number of positions. And like, you might have a couple guitarists, or you might only have one. You know, like keys are, as much as it pains me to say it, optional. But you probably need, I guess you don't need drums or bass, but there's some things you probably need if you're going to make it in a pop band.
You
kind
don't
of
need
a
any one of them, but you don't need any specific one of them, but you probably need at least one of them.
Like, you could even probably try to go all vocalist, but you're going to maybe have a rough time. I don't know.
Unless you're rock a cappella.
Well, right. You'd have to have a way to model it so that someone making a all vocalists a cappella band play is not just like, I stole all the vocalists and now no one else has anything else to work with, and thus I won. But without going into the gory details, you have to draft your band. But I also like the idea, like, they have a few different ratings, like technical ability or musicality, or like maybe this guy is a writer, but this guy's, you know, a really solid player, but he's not going to help out with writing songs all that much or something. But then also, like, because it's rock bands, why not go this way? Like, you might get this really, really great guitarist, but he's also addicted to methamphetamines. And so you have to deal with that.
And so if you don't have a meth card in your hand at the same time you try to use him, he doesn't.
Or something like that. Yeah, something could go horribly wrong, or his stats change depending on how much cocaine you have available. And then you have a certain number of rounds that are concerts and or like battles of the bands. It could even be like a The Voice American Idol style, where you're all competing for the win.
You could even loosen it up and make it just like a high school battle of the bands thing.
If you're in a high school battle of the band setting, not very many of your musicians are addicted to meth.
Listen, you were in a high school battle of the band setting. How much? Come on now.
Okay, that's a fair point. I would say at least two of the bands entire were addicted to methamphetamine. So, okay. But, well,
in
whatever.
An ideal world, yeah.
Yeah. So regardless, whether it's a battle of the bands or just you each have a concert in a series and there are, you know, the series is five concerts long,
sure.
And you have to try to either increase your fan base. I don't think concerts really map well to like your song, a given song's position in the charts. So it would have to be use the band that you have available to make a concert good and attract fans. And
I mean,
your victory points would be, you know, fans.
You could go super Euro with this, with like concerts and like having different songs your band has written and performed that can move up the radio charts, but may not be as good in live or vice versa.
Believe me, my brain is broken in many of the same ways that yours is. And I have considered and thrown out already many, many ideas about, you know, managers and venue sizes and publicity, but let's not go there because that game is bad.
Well,
that
game is not one you are at all interested in. I think it's a game that could be fun and entertaining for a very assertable subset of players out
there. But those people are terrible and we shouldn't do things for them because they deserve to suffer.
Fair enough.
So that's my thing. You draft your band and then you have to make it big.
I'd play that. Give it a go. Could be interesting. I had a thought while you were talking, if it's okay for me to follow on your own theme. But what if you were, all the players were members of the same band?
Uh-huh.
And so you have to keep the band successful as a team. But each player's goal is to bail for their a solo career at the most opportune time.
I love it.
So the band has to stay alive until such time as you think you're able to get out and succeed. Because if you bail and fail, there's no going back. You're just out. And then, but then if somebody's already bailed, the band is going to start cratering quickly because you've just lost your original singer.
Like,
it's no good anymore. Nobody cares for that. And so the other players are going to start bailing pretty quick after that. But like the second guy to bail might be the one who actually succeeds. So you've got a, something would have to, you know, there'd be mechanics to play in there, but the goal is to, the goal is to abandon your friends at the best possible moment for your own self without giving away what you're about to do.
There would have to be a serious penalty for the first person to ditch the band for their solo career.
Mm-hmm. But it would have to be very hard to judge when, when to bail, but
that's pretty entertaining.
It might be funny.
I'd give that a try.
Yeah. I don't know how it would work at all, but.
Well, I have a theme for you that might be way too difficult, in which
theme
case...
Theme me!
We can... Tom just mimed tearing off his shirt.
I just tore off my shirt. I'm shirtless now.
He just has a burgundy tattoo that says, "The mountains are calling and I must go," that covers his entire torso.
Mm-hmm.
Real weird. So, this might not work, and if not, I'll throw you another one if you just are stymied. But optical illusions...
You're a monster.
I try.
Every card is a magic eye puzzle, and you can't use it.
You can't read it until you...
You don't know what your cards are until you've solved the puzzle, and then you can play them. And so it's real time.
You could just lie. Be like, this one says this, and people are like, well, we can't read it either, so I guess we have to take you at your word. Or did I have a card at all?
Yeah, I have no idea what to do with that. Why?
I
got nothing.
I think there are things, because it's a general theme. You don't even necessarily have to have any optical illusions on the in the game, like that the players have to deal with.
Sure.
It could just be the general conceit, but whatever.
We'll have something else. Yeah, but everything I'm thinking where I would go through is just magicians.
Okay.
It just goes from optical illusion to magicians.
How about this one? Animal husbandry.
Ooh. All right. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward game. Like there's a herd of animals, and you have to woo one. To,
I would have chosen a different word, but okay.
To be your barnyard bride.
Okay, I guess maybe I wouldn't have.
That's what that means, right? Animal husbandry.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about marrying farm animals, right?
No. But why not? Go for it. I'm interested.
What are you talking about then?
Carry on. That's what that means.
So, I mean, like, each you know, like, cow or chicken or horse in the barnyard in the middle there, I guess you would have to go further back in time to make it interesting, like, to a point in time where farm animals were held in common by the farmers of the area.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, each of you is a farmer trying to determine which animal you're going to wed. Seriously. Give me the actual definition. We cannot talk about this game on the air.
Do you actually not know what it is?
No, I know what that is.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so animal husbandry. So farming the game.
God.
Right. Yeah, that's right. We just had a lengthy discussion of radical bestiality on our podcast. Oh, it's that edgy business right here.
The edgiest. Hashtag dirty sheets.
Okay, so animal husbandry, though. But seriously. I mean, the obvious way to go there is Euro, with, you know, a farm that you're building up and you're buying and selling animals and whatnot.
But that's not fun and no one wants to play.
Yeah, nobody wants to play that game. So I think that in this game, you are the farmer's children.
Ooh.
So each player is one child of the farmer.
Side note, the farmer's children sounds like a short story that I wouldn't read.
Or like a folk band, maybe?
Yeah, that could be good.
So you're each a child of the farmer, and your goal is to do the least farm work you can get away with. So feed the fewest cows, feed the fewest horses, corral the fewest pigs, get pecked by the fewest chickens, whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, whatever is going on the farm. that you can get away with without the farm actually collapsing to a degree where your farmer father realizes that you're a lazy bastard and, I don't know, kicks you with his sheep-encrusted boot.
So this has become old-timey laziness of the game.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, that's it. So, like, you could get away with a certain amount of laziness by being at the one-room schoolhouse.
Sure.
But not all the kids get to go to school.
Plus, that's punishment enough on its own.
Right, but you don't. But you want to be at school more than you want to do the farming stuff.
Wow, that's rough.
You're not learning anything.
I'm learning.
Yeah. So, like, some people, so, like, a couple of kids might be able to sneak away and get to school.
Sure.
Or getting away with running errands to town or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And others will be trying to pawn off, you know, chores on other members of the household.
Uh-huh.
Like, the farmer himself will do a certain amount, but, you know, you can't.
You can only do so much. Why else would a farmer have children?
Yeah, you can't count on it. And so, like, every time you do a chore, you take a token.
Uh-huh.
Like, and, like, the tokens have different values at the end of the game, and low score wins, it's like golf.
Okay.
So the child who is laziest wins.
So
it's a game that inculcates good values.
I kind of like
it. In the youth of America.
It sort of lacks, I guess, as generally as it's been laid out, it doesn't really, I can't say that it lacks anything, but it feels like it lacks player interaction. Like, I feel like there needs to be a way to pawn off a chore on someone, maybe even in such a way that you could foist one of your tokens upon them.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just being like, no, I was better at avoiding it than you.
Well, I think the farmer, you know, needs to be moving around the
board. Yeah, and maybe the farmer's wife.
The farmer and the farmer's wife need to be moving around the board. And, like, if the farmer sees you doing nothing, he'll assign a chore to you, which dictates maybe your next move, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, if the farmer sees you and you're busy, you can then be like, yeah, but Gary is behind the barn doing diddly squat. And then the farmer is going to head there, make a beeline for Gary.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, so that introduces an element of you want the farmer to see you when you're busy with a low value chore.
Right.
So that you can then send the farmer
to someone else.
To someone else.
Yeah,
I like that. And the farmer will always force you to do the highest value chore on the farm. Like, if the cows need milking, he's going to be like,
or scrubbing.
Be like, milk
those
cows.
Go scrub those cows.
You scrub those cows. If the goats need somebody to headbutt, because goats will die if they don't headbutt enough things.
It's true.
You go out there, you get on all fours, you let that goat smash its horns into your forehead.
Which is a high value chore. Like, you're going to get a lot of tokens for that, but it's very possible you will also end up concussed and then laid up and not have to do any chores.
It's true.
It could be that if you hit a really dangerous high value chore early enough in the game, you're just like, you're made. Mm-hmm. You got it. I'm in bed recovering from the goat horn in my left temple.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But you might also die, in which case you lose immediately.
Then you lose.
You're just out. This is a very dark game.
I like it. You could have random events like maybe the milkman or the mailman shows up, but there's like a chance that it's a new mailman. And so you could be like, I'm looking like I'm doing a low value chore going out and getting the mail, except it's a new mailman. He's like, I've got a package for your paw. And then you have to go to the farmer. You just have to. And then you're boned because you've just completed your low value chore. And now he's going to give you the get headbutted by a goat chore.
And he's right there.
Yeah.
You can't escape it.
There's no getting away.
But, like, too, you could introduce, if you really wanted to make the game more complicated, you could introduce elements of sabotage where you're like,
you put a mine in a cow and then one of your siblings has to go milk the cow explodes and kills them.
I was thinking, like, you know, you disconnect the battery on the tractor.
And then it explodes and kills them?
No, so that the farmer is delayed for an extra round fixing the battery.
And then he gets so mad that he explodes and kills them? No?
Maybe.
I've never been on a farm before.
Yeah, well.
That's not actually true. I like that. That's interesting. Very little animal husbandry other than apparently occasionally getting headbutted by a goat or scrubbing a cow, but that's okay.
That could be a fun game.
I had an idea. Mm-hmm. Of zoomed out, it's almost more like selective breeding the game, but of over a long enough period of time trying to breed a line of something.
Mm.
But I'm not really sure how that would work. That was where my brain jumped initially with animal husbandry.
Mm-hmm.
After the, you know, marrying a beast of burden bit was over.
Right.
You creep.
I do try. If you would like to marry a beast of burden,
you should let us know which beast of burden that would be On Twitter at Mildly Alarming.
On email at mildlyalarmingshow@gmail.com.
On the website at www.mildlyalarming.com or on facebook.com/mildlyalarmingshow. You can rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or TuneIn Radio.
Or just invite us to your wedding to that llama, and we'll bring a thoughtful gift, and we can talk about your question there.
I might just send a gift. I hate weddings.
You've been tapped to provide music for it. You gotta sing and play the pipe organ.
That's the worst.
I'm the flower girl.
That much is clear. We'll see you next week.
Cheers. Mildly Alarming Podcast is brought to you by science. For only a small fee, our finest mediums can uncover difficult and distant truths. Do you have dead relatives with unfinished business you need to contact? Then science is for you.
Seance. The word you want is seance.
Oh.